As business owners, entrepreneurs, family men, it's difficult for us to find the time to put together projects.
Worse
like
than
these.
That, and I left the worst part out.
We really want to do.
Not
unfortunately,
even
taking care of the things we have to take care of.
I'm here for all first. Of
it. However, because of viewer support, for
there's a reason
like you,
why I'm as angry as I am.
Continue doing this. Please consider joining our Patreon and supporting the Burn and Return podcast. You're listening to Burn and Return, a weekly one-hour podcast covering news from the agricultural and turfgrass industries.
Those were, I was going to say those were fireworks, but it sounded more like fully automatic bump stock fire. Well, probably not. It's definitely not fully automatic, but bump stock fire. Anyway, where am I going with this? I don't know. How's everyone doing? Welcome. It is another episode of Burn and Return. If you missed the pre-show, boy, you missed probably one of the more uplifting, inspiring stories that could have come out. You can always check that out at patreon.com/burnandreturn. It's like $4. It's cheap. And if you're really into, like, you know, uplifting stories of
humanity,
perseverance,
oral sex,
winning
grass. Yeah. I mean, we've got it all. Literally.
We do.
All the things that people won't talk about or don't talk about, we're here for it.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things, right? It's like at this point, I'm 30. What's the point of pretending like it didn't happen? You know what I mean? I don't care anymore. I've lived long enough to just say, what is people going to change their opinion of me? Oh my God. No.
That's why you did your AMA on Reddit this past week.
I know. Speaking of, I'm glad you brought it up. I did an AMA on Reddit. I am not a Redditor. I'm not a particular fan.
Now.
The only Redditing I've done is when DeMay sends me the spiciest of Reddits to go look at, you know, where like people are missing arms and legs or they get tased because he knows I'm a big fan of people dropping face first after getting tased. Yeah. and so anyway, the Supernova and PD, two of the moderators there asked me to do that. And so I hopped in and did it. And I had a lot of fun doing it. It's pretty rapid fire, and I was doing it during the workday, so I was trying to stay on top of it the best I could. And just everybody seemed to have good questions and genuinely interested in learning more. And I was like, all right, that's not what I thought it was going to be at all. I thought there would be a lot more cheap shots in there, but there genuinely wasn't.
Save that for the, I thought of the Facebook afterwards.
The Facebook afterwards. But actually, hey, me and that guy, we had a private conversation and we ended things great too. And I think he learned a little bit more where I was coming from and I learned a little bit more where he was coming from. And and it was like I had talked about this on Dan's show, right? Is that when people like the organic lawn warrior comes to the realization that everything he's been doing is not organic, and he was led to believe that and was given, no one ever corrected it. And so, you know, he just assumed that what he was, well, no one ever told me any different. So of course it is. And then when he learned that it wasn't organic and he went through the five stages of grief, I get it. You know, I mean, it's shocking to people. And that guy went through that same thing and it was shocking. And then after we had a private conversation, he was like, oh, holy shit. I didn't even realize. okay. Damn it, boy. And anyway, we shook hands and bro hugged and yeah, we're all good now.
Look at that. See, the Matt of 5 years ago would have just torn that guy to shreds and left him for dead.
Been terrible. It would have been.
See, awful. He's a new man, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I think it is? I think as the hour meter goes up on the cunnilingus meter, that's what's really smoothing you out. I think that's what it is.
It does. The peaks and valleys are a bit more rolling hills, right?
So there you are. New man, Matt Martin, tantric orgasm giver. God bless him. I'm not shaking, you're shaking.
Drugs or whatever. I don't know what the new catchphrases are. All right, let's check out this week's headlines.
Nothing to fear here. This is just
This is Just News. Real quick, we're going to fly through the headlines because we have an extended segment of Joe Knows Turf. And we know that is everyone's favorite category. And boy, DeMay has done some show prep on this one. He gave us a teaser as to one of the three that we were going to be doing. And I know of that one, I am already. It is not estrogen that is coursing through my veins. It is dihydrogen testosterone. DHT is, it is pinging off the upper limit of the meter right now. So anyway, bear with us as we move through these relatively quickly. And the first one here is something to get excited about. Nice fucking stock photo here. But state restrictions on local fertilizer bans opposed. Okay. Given the recent releases from Lake Okeechobee, two Cape Coral City Council members joined more than 50 other elected officials from around the state calling on Governor Ron DeSantis and the state legislature to reject any legislation that would attempt to restrict the ability of local municipalities to regulate the use of fertilizer. Each of Florida's municipalities has unique concerns, said Councilmember Jessica Cousin, who signed the letter along with Councilmember Robert Welsh. In Cape Coral, one of our prime concerns is water quality in our 400 miles of canals and surrounding waterways. We already contend with nutrient pollution from Lake Okeechobee discharges, but fertilizer runoff is also a threat to water quality. Cities should not be stopped from regulating fertilizer as they see necessary. Fort Myers Beach, Vice Mayor Jim Adderholt took the similar view. I thought it was important to make our voice heard for all the various facets that keep our water clean. I would encourage folks to reach out to their state legislators and share their concerns about this key water quality issue. The runoff of nitrogen and phosphorus from these fertilizers has a direct impact on red tide and blue-green algae. Also signed by Fort Myers Councilmember Teresa Washington Brown. last year, Florida legislators DeSantis stopped all new strong urban fertilizer ordinances with long-term moratorium. Anyway, they included the letter here for people at different positions all around the state. Anyway, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and y'all were saying, DeMay, I think you made a point that, you know, it makes sense that, it, you know, governing it at a local level, at least on paper, it makes plenty of sense. However, in terms of financing the ability to enforce it, that doesn't make sense, right? So these are very strong words, and I might be putting words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but these are very strong words from local municipalities saying, no, we got this. We want to be able to make the decision. What's your take on it now?
Yeah, I think, you know, the issue becomes is everybody set up from the regulatory or legislative due diligence to handle, you know, the information that's coming in. Race pointedly spoke here the last several weeks about, you know, kind of being reined in by the government and what are they going to use as their metrics and things like that. So, you know, if there was, you know, somebody that at a higher level that could provide guidance to these local municipalities and understand that, yes, that, you know, Daytona Beach is different than Tampa Bay, which is different than Naples, which is different than Fort Lauderdale, you know, understanding all that stuff, right? I still think that the state level is the correct place to do this just because they're going to have a better sense of how to regulate it by county and delve into some of the local issues that is where they can, but also to enforce when people don't follow those restrictions. And so I think that's where we're at, guys. And we're going to talk a whole bunch about people thumbing their nose at restrictions here tonight. So I'm all in favor of this one, Ray, of people being sensible, right? There's a reason that they have to do this. Okay. We talked about this with John Emerson, right? That you almost have to do this in a certain sense. But Ray, how do you feel about this? Is this a local issue or is this a state issue?
This is a state issue. And the reason why this is a state issue is I don't see little towns or municipalities having the enforcement mechanisms. And because what are they going to do? Are they going to put up barbed wire and tell people in one county, no, you are not driving over to the next county to buy fertilizer because that is prohibited. Okay, what are they? Is that what they're going to do? Because, and furthermore, somebody has to come up with a rational reason, because right now, it's my estimation that 90% of all of these restrictions, mandates, etc., are emotional rather than scientific. Okay? They are emotional rather than scientific. And when I say emotional rather than scientific, what I mean is just because it sounds good to a lawmaker to write in yet another mandate, they're going to do it, but they're going to do so without thinking about unintended consequences or whether their mandate is even actually going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think bottom line is that you see what's going on here. It's a local rule issue. You know, any town, municipality, whatever, is not going to cede power to the state. They're going to try and protect all their power at a local level. This, unfortunately, I think, is an issue at which they are ill-equipped to handle for a variety of reasons. And I think they're wrong in this case. I think they're wrong. So,
yep,
there you have it, Matt.
most retail fertilizer prices slightly higher for the fourth week of February. This Whoa. Makes total sense because we are in planting season, right? So, well, not quite there, but everybody's buying for planting season. This is normal to see an uptick right now this time of year, so nothing out of the ordinary. Average retail prices for most fertilizers were higher than last month during the fourth week of February 2024, but for the sixth consecutive week, no fertilizer price was up or down by a substantial amount. Prices for six of the eight major fertilizers were higher compared to a month earlier, making it the third week in a row most prices rise. Of the six fertilizers higher in price, DAP had an average of $7.56 a ton. Jeez, phosphorus is off the charts, still crazy expensive right now. Urea $5.36 a ton, $10.34 at $6.15 a ton, UAN $28 at $3.42 a ton, UAN $32 at $400, and potassium chloride coming in at $5.05 a ton. So, you know, it has definitely softened from where we were at our highs last year and in the year before. We do see some lingering pain in the phosphorus department. Definitely some lingering pain in the potash department, and especially if you're doing sulfate of potash, there's a lot of pain there right now. Still hearing prices anywhere from $850 to well over $1,000 a ton on that in bulk. So at retail, you might be even as high as like $1,200 a ton right now for sulfate of potash. So not a ton of fun there, but significantly more fun than we were having the previous year. I would say that most people that are buying bags of fertilizer right now are getting prices anywhere from, you know, $18 to $23 a bag for your typical blends. And maybe you were paying $15 to $18 before. Now you're $18 to $23. So, you know, not off the chain. No one's paying, you know, $27, $28, $29, $30 a bag anymore like you were a year ago. So at least that aspect has improved. And then if anybody missed this, it was in the news there for a while. The Houthi rebels sunk a ship in the Red Sea, but what was on it? 21,000 metric tons of ammonium phosphate. So this could be either MAP, monoammonium phosphate, 11520, could be DAP, 18460, or it could be the 10360 ammonium phosphate. We don't know. I'm sorry, it's ammonium phosphate sulfate. I don't know what the analysis is on ammonium phosphate sulfate. You know, Ray?
I have no idea. That's probably a specialty product that that they do regionally. And my guess is...
It's a 1620 with 13% sulfur. 1620 nice. With 13 sulfur. I like
nice,
that.
Nice. I mean, you know, I could see value in that for sure. But okay, that kind of incident where ships of commerce are being attacked, Matt, that I'm going to say is. That was like the original purpose for the United States creating a Navy. mess with the overseas commerce and expect to see the Navy show up.
Yeah, and you know, let me say this right now. 21,000 metric tons in the water at one time. That's a lot. Okay, that's a lot of fertilizer at one time. I know we lost, what was it, 1,000 gallons of UAN into the Mississippi earlier this year, I think that was last year, and that was a big deal. This is 21,000 metric tons, so you know, 2,250 pounds, not your typical 2,000. So we'll call it 24,000 short tons, standard tons. Here on our base, 24,000. Imagine 24,000 pallets of fertilizer, soluble fertilizer,
dumped
into the Red Sea. Yowza. And the only positive that I can think about it from this point is that I'm surprised the ship sank that much with as buoyant as that water is now. Chances are that we could all walk across the surface of it for at least a half a second or more, due to the increased salt content of the water there. I don't know if Moses is going to be too keen on parting that water as buoyant as it is right now. Strange things might float to the surface. Anyway, I'm wondering, are they going to start defacing paintings and cutting them up over this attack, or are we going to save that just for whatever else?
I don't know, but you know, this is got to be one of those things. Got to be kind of a flashpoint where, all right, at this point, you take the gloves off and literally take these guys back to the Stone Age, right? Right, like
enough already, right, Ryan? Enough already. The
boats, you're doing this. You're doing this stuff. You're messing around. I get it. I understand. But you know, at this point, you just sunk a boat. You created an environmental disaster, and it's time for you to no longer be here, like forever.
I've got a feeling that all that's going to come of this is. Nothing, and you know, probably some drone strikes in Syria or something that's going to make us scratch our heads and be like, dude, what, why are we bombing Syria again? And then you know, more people will sit on a freeway somewhere and talk about, you know, whatever cow farts are ruining the environment. Meanwhile, we've got people that are just, you know, casually dropping however many thousands of gallons of diesel fuel, various engine oils, hydraulic fluid, and 21,000 metric tons of fertilizer into waterways. Like, that's no big deal.
Yeah. Whenever. We just dropped a metric shit ton of pollution into the Red Sea, which, by the way, the Red Sea is already pretty compromised. You know, pollution wise. So this really doesn't help. I mean, because, and you know what? This is like counterproductive, because people depend on the Red Sea for food. Okay? Because people harvest fish out of the Red Sea. The Houthis, I mean, what is their end goal? Are they trying to kill everybody in the Middle East? I mean, is that what they want to do?
There is no goal. There is no goal. It's just to create havoc and make noise and garner attention, and then who knows? Maybe we'll start
gain sympathy,
parachuting,
right?
In fucking parachuting in aid or something. I don't know. We might even parachute in pallets of cash. Didn't we do that somewhere at some point? I don't know.
Yes, we did.
Nothing. Makes fucking sense at all. When in doubt, parachute cash out. It's unreal. real quick, and I do want to make a point on this. Dill Pickle said, is the run on phosphorus BS? Not really. Kind of, but not really. What happened is the, like, which makes absolutely no sense. This is the antithesis of capitalism. But Private industry and government have buddied up so fucking aggressively now. We call that crony capitalism. Might even, you know, there's some strange tinges of, it used to be a big left economic policy, and now it's just kind of molded into one. There is no difference between left and right economic policy anymore. But the big phosphorus mines like Mosaic went to the government and was like, we better stop letting foreign imports of phosphorus into this country. It's bad for business. And that was actually the Trump administration was like, you know what? You're right. We're gonna make America great again by forcing American phosphorus only. And of course, that was upheld by the Biden administration too, because I think in his State of the Union, he just completely reiterated that. You know, so there's that melding of, you know, competition. Not so fucking hot. Both sides of the government right now are real big on picking winners. Whoever they think should be a winner is who they're picking to be winners. And it's gonna get really weird. I hear the old chip plant in Columbus right now has hit some major roadblocks. TCMS has pulled a significant portion of the plug on the project in Arizona, and the Texas Instruments. They pulled the plug on their project too. So all that chip production that was coming to the U.S. because of the CHIPS Act, that was bipartisan deal that came together and all that. Turns out the companies were like, yeah, this ain't fucking working. And you know why it's not working? Labor actually is where that came to work, because they are forcing some pretty interesting metrics on the hiring side of things. And when they could not fulfill positions to keep the project going, they're like, well, tired of throwing money at something that's not moving. So anyway, we'll see. Don't tell the reason why we had to do that, why it's failing, because I don't know. Taiwan, tip your hat. Hold on. Hey, DeMay, while we're talking about things that are really good and positive, let's check out this week's Jono Turf. I know you put some work into it. Let's do the damn.
Yes.
Jono's Turf. Speaking of Joe, thank you, Organic Lawn Warrior, for inspiring the reboot of
your turf facts today.
because
Jono's Turf.
Indeed.
Well, gentlemen, we've been off for a few weeks, and so I thought it'd be, well worth it for our fans, our loyal listeners, followers, and even Spencer, to watch a few an extended cut here today, because there's quite a bit out there that's going on right now. And you know, I thought of this as this segment's gone on now for about 2 years or so, and just like in sports, you know how one or two people, you know, really come up and rise up and become sort of the standard in that sport, you know, whether it be a baseball player, football player, whatever.
They become an icon.
I feel like this season, it's early. It's early, but I feel like this season, the two that we're going to watch tonight are going to be special. I feel like they're going to be ones that are strong contributors on a regular basis with just outstanding performances that we cannot ignore. Jono's Turf. So
the way
you
said that is making me nervous. I'm just saying.
I'm glad. This is.
I'm already squirming, Ryan.
I'm hiding.
This is range. This is a quintessential. For those, okay, so real quick, for those that don't know what Jono's Turf is, this is our chance to kind of pull back the lens. And if you watch Dr. Travis Shaddix on his channel, Turf Epistemology, he does this in a much better way than what we do. We were the OGs, but he took our concept and really made it something of what we always wanted it to be. But we are just too egocentric and too prideful to not stop the video and say, this motherfucker right here, and just go off, okay? Travis has much more self-control. The therapy is working for him. It's clearly not working for us. And I mean that with all sincerity and all respect.
Dr. Shaddix, will you be my therapist, please?
Please. Like, we might need to do that. So
No.
We look at these videos and we try to react to them and offer up as much as we can in terms of, hey, maybe don't do that. Do this instead. Here's what the science says. And sometimes we just go off on, you know, massive rage-fueled rants. And I think we're going to have all of the above tonight. And for those of you that really are dear fans and follow us and go on to www.patreon.com/burnreturn and subscribe to the show, okay? Subscribe to the show. You're gonna need a different kind of Coke to get through this one, bud. Those folks get to watch our after show, in which this was really, really where the nexus of Joe Knows Turf originated. We kind of softened it up for Joe Knows Turf. So in those segments, the after show segments from our Thirsty Thursday show, now Wet and Wild Wednesdays, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, check that out too. We would go through and just eviscerate stuff, but the way that I always like to do it was to take Matt sort of on a journey. And sometimes I would ramp up his anxiety very slowly and kind of climax at the end. And other times it would be, you know, rapid fire and just kind of go out. So we're going to see how tonight plays out. He knows what's coming, not first, but he knows what's coming here, I think, second. We'll see. All right. Let's play the first video, though, because we've got four big ones to go through here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go ahead and dive in. JPEG, play number one. We're going to watch the intro, and then we're going to jump to a timestamp here. I've got several timestamps. If I tell you to stop, we might talk, and JPEG, we might cut ahead here, and I will cue up where we're going to slide over to. All right, let's play this and watch this from Yard Bra.
Oh, it's so sunny. I apologize. I didn't have a video yesterday, guys. I was working on another video, and I'm not done yet because it takes forever to edit right now.
Now, if you don't hilarious. He may be working on another video, and it may be taking him so long because the FBI, part of his sentencing agreement and his probation, does not allow him access to videography software or editing software. And that would be because I don't need to tell you why. We don't have the time to tell you. I would just ask you to go to www.yardbrah.com, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know. That's yardbra.com. Okay. Now, let's continue.
All this crazy footage. Telling you, I can't, the computer can't keep up. I have 16 gigs of RAM. I need like 32. It's nuts. 4K footage, it's crazy. Anywho, enough of the production stuff. Here's the lawn. Oh my goodness gracious. What is going on right now? See, when the sun comes out,
need a toothbrush so to fucking grass. Scrub myself okay, right
let's,
now.
Let's get a nice little close-up. Oh.
I can't. I'm gonna fucking vomit.
Don't get it twisted.
No.
Puppy.
Oh, all right.
God almighty. Good job,
puppy. Herbicides are down.
Pause. So, this guy's clearly a clown, and the title for the video, for those of you that are listening in audio, this is soil test results are in and we failed miserably. So JPEG, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and slide over to 4 minutes and 30 seconds here. Let's start at 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay, so he's got a my soil test here. And for those of you, before we click start here, the N results, which I don't put a whole lot of stock to, nor do I put a whole lot of stock into the P results. However, I do believe that the ratio of this is actually pretty correct because the P is literally as high as I've ever seen it on any of these bullshit myosoil tests. It is near the top of the scale, Ray. I don't know that it goes much higher than that. So let's see what he failed.
Actually, I believe he's over that. I believe it's over that, Ryan. Because their scale says 12, and I see 18. So, here's what I'm thinking: if a myosoil test can detect phosphorus in a sample, we've got issues. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's probably a fair assessment too. Okay, a bunch of these things are high. Let's go ahead and play.
Back. I'm not following it. You know what I mean? We don't follow any rules back here. And look at this. This is some grass. The back Kentucky 31 low-key poops on the main first two seasons. This is years of experience dialed in, doing the same things we've been doing, not listening to anyone, not following directions on soil tests, and this is what we get. This also says, as I blabbed on, so our calcium is very high. What it's saying is we need to put down some lime. I already knew that. Instead of putting down some lime and waiting years for the pH levels to, you know, to get better, I'm looking at this product. It's a liquid product and it's for farms. Let me double check to see, because it sounds like it helps with animals that
as young as he likes them. I'm surprised he has any fucking interest in grass.
Lime, it's a liquid lime
on fields at all.
Instant pH results, which is cool. I'm gonna check that out.
Pause.
For the meantime, we're gonna go grab some.
So he's talking about some he doesn't want to wait for lime to work.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lime recommendation of 120 pounds per thousand. And so
hang on though, guys. Saying, hang on.
Yes.
Is it calcium hydroxide?
No, because wait a minute, because you know his actual calcium levels in that micelle test? His calcium levels on that test are high. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Matt? I went over this with one of our viewers, Dave Clausen, about how when you have high calcium levels detected by a micelle test, the last thing you need, regardless of the pH number that they give back to you, is any more lime. He don't need it. All right? He don't need it, because if he were to
micelle test isn't going to differentiate between buffering capacity and fucking calcium chloride or anything else.
Right, right. So in other words, Matt, my guess is that, you know what his actual pH is? His actual pH is between 6.5 and 7, so he would be doing a bad to throw down any lime on that soil. He'd be doing
a bad.
Let
me explain that for example, right? The way that the micelle test works is that it has an ion exchange resin capsule in it, right? So it captures ions, right? So if you have carbonates in the soil, carbonates are alkaline in nature, and they can exist as calcium carbonate, right? And so if you have elevated levels of calcium carbonate in your soil, typically you're going to have neutral to alkaline soil conditions, right? Well, the difference is that the micelle test is that the one thing we know is that the way it's packaged in water, hydrolysis is going to occur. And so you're going to get some manipulation of pH on the get-go from that, especially depending upon what other inputs are in it, right? Like one of the things I can guarantee you is that if you have high iron content in your soil, and I'm not saying that he does, but this is just as an example, the longer you let it sit in water, the lower the pH is going to be by the time you test it. In this particular instance, his micelle test cannot differentiate between calcium carbonate, calcium chloride, calcium sulfate. All it just detects are calcium ions altogether, right? And so it's by showing an elevated calcium level, they are making that deduction based on pH. However, per their own literature, their pH is only within a half a point of being accurate logarithmically, right? Which is, you know, a factor of 10. And so it has a very large potential of being way off, right? So when we're talking about, you know, this recommendation of high calcium and his pH is probably more close to neutral than what he understands, that's how we're making that deduction, because of the inability of the ion exchange resin capsule to be able to determine, is it actually carbonates in the soil, or is it chlorides, is it sulfates, is it some other a soluble form of calcium that exists there.
Boom, roasted. All right, 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
But other than that, we are pretty much
7 minutes, 30 seconds.
I mean, that was,
all right, that's fine. That's
maybe
close
he can
right there.
Groom that lime, said JP.
Pretty
good weather. Yes, definitely into grooming.
No, there's no low numbers here. This goes to show you what a professional lawn. I mean, I'm sure golf courses have this kind of same problem too. You know, it's like overly done because you have to. People are there every day trying to play. They'll probably tell you straight up, like these turf managers, they're like, oh yeah, everything's perfect. All our levels are perfect. Well, number one, there's so much science that goes into this. I don't want to be the guy that does all the science stuff on this channel. This is supposed to be fun. The science stuff is fun.
Dude, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Even your inference there that golf courses have it public or perfect or whatever. No one is chasing numbers in soil. That just guides you on what fertilizer analysis you might apply a number of times in the year. You might only apply phosphorus just once per year at a very low rate just to maintain a certain level. You don't have to fucking maintain the exact level. The difference in turf quality that you're going to see between having a perfect level and a low level of phosphorus is zero. You will not see a difference. If you have a deficient level of phosphorus, not a low level, a deficient level, then you will see a decline in turf quality. But until you get there, you'll never fucking see it because it doesn't exist. So what you're saying is complete and total fucking bullshit because you have no idea what you're talking about. Stick That's to grooming correct. Children and stay out of your fucking yard.
Actually, let's not stick to grooming children, but
yeah, actually, let's not do that. Let's stick to fucking following the guidance of the FBI. How about that?
Fun yes. too, but it'll put cruel. Your ass to sleep. So, for instance, if you have like a high potassium.
So just rewind like a few seconds there and let's watch, go back like 10 seconds. Let's hear what he says about science here real quick.
It's fun too, but it'll put your ass to sleep. So, for instance, if you have like high potassium levels, tests have shown if you just use potassium as an application, just a potassium source, it doesn't do much. Like, did you know that potassium maxes out at a certain point? It maxes out. Like, you can put down as much potassium as you want. It doesn't matter. It'll max out and it won't go over that limit. There's a lot Time's of stuff up, that you have to over. You have to worry about if you care about that kind of stuff. I don't really care about it. I care about keeping a healthy lawn, making sure it's not brown, making sure there's no disease, making
like,
sure
kill it's the fucking grass.
It's healthy right now. It's
what
healthy.
Are you talking about?
I believe what he's saying is that the plant can uptake or something. Regardless, he incites how science is boring and then proceeds to tell us about studies say. I mean, maybe there's a reason that you don't talk about it that is maybe irrelevant to putting people to sleep or whatever, you know. By the way, you know, one of his favorite things is, do you like the smell of chloroform? He's probably asked that question before. All right, let's go ahead and
I was going to say, I think the FBI has whole teams of people that study groomers in general because there's a
9:30
proven scientific method to that.
There we go. Perfect.
Giving the water. Number two, let's just see what happens. So let's go to the recommendations. What do they recommend us to do? Annual treatment. Your treatment recommendations were calculated per 1,000 square feet. Number one, nitrogen per year, 2.53 pounds of nitrogen.
I pumped those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Now, are they basing that off of the fact that we have a crap load of nitrogen right now? I mean, doesn't nitrogen gas off over time? Potash, 1.38 pounds what? Of potash. What? Again, potash, potassium. We're just going to keep doing what we do. We have the 14014. We have the 2700.
Right. Pause.
We okay. have.
Last clip here. What
is this
here.
Guy talking about?
He's making it up. The other thing, too, we don't have time to get into this tonight, but if you watch this video, you'll see just how absolutely loaded down his lawn is with Poetriv. And I can absolutely assure you that both Poetriv, Poetannua thrive in high phosphorus environments. Thrive mm-hmm. in high phosphorus environments. Take that and you couple this guy's climate, right, where he's at in the Pacific Northwest, he's going to be a glutton for punishment. So let's skip here to the last section of this. 14 minutes and 30 seconds, Jay Pink, about how he tries to reverse. He's trying to do the reverse Spencer. Not the Houdini or the reverse Houdini. Talk about those off air later. Those are also high effort.
One of you guys emailed me. Poa Cures for sale. Poa Cures for sale. You can buy it now. I go to the website. Still for golf supers. Definitely not for residential. I've tried. I know someone who has it, but he won't share because he says he has Poa next to his tree. If you're watching, my dude, give me some, please. I told you. I'll buy some.
Pause. I'm going to leave you with this.
Fuck,
I'm
this
not
is so
a lawyer.
Funny.
I'm
Dads I'm across not, America hate your fucking guts, cowboy. It's a silly ass giggle you keep digging out there.
I am not a lawyer, but I would recommend here to our friend. And again, if you don't know who he is, visit the website. Can't miss him. www.yardbroad.com. But I would highly encourage somebody who has been convicted of a federal offense to not then admit over YouTube that he is going to then commit another federal offense, because I don't know that that's a great idea. Label's the law, pal. It's a federal law.
Apply your funny apparel. Woodchopper nice commented night. Because it's awfully close to wood chipper. Anyway.
All right. Let's go ahead.
What's after this?
Let's turn it up. Let's turn it up a notch here. Let's God go almighty. To number one. We got a three for here.
Sorry, I was.
All right, let's play this.
You didn't tell me what you got. You didn't tell me what you're working with. So hopefully that is useful. All right. Let's see here. He says, "Hey Ron, after doing my soul test and listening." To Travis Shaddox, who says,
wait, go back and play that again.
Travis Shaddox, who says, I've decided to throw down straight urea and save myself money. Is there a better or best 4400 without a nitric inhibitor? I would say this: if you're going to go with straight urea, like whoever is telling you to do that should be able to supply you with, you know, an option that's going to be good for you. I don't have a recommendation. As far
you
as,
are a as pompous as prick, P-R-I-C-K prick, and it begins with Dr. Wait, who is that, J. Pink? Can we clip that?
My soul test and throw down straight urea to Travis Shaddox, who says
Travis Shaddox. Listen, Ron is an educated man. No human on earth looks at that and says Shaddox. No one. It took effort to create that in his fucking mind. Literally was thinking to himself, how can I fuck this up so much to make it appear as if I have no idea who Dr. Travis Shaddox is? That is the most fucking Houdini effort I have ever seen.
I don't know if he's lying, though. But I also think that it's horse shit. I'll submit another exhibit here in a few minutes here that's going to make it even worse than what you think is going on. And I'll tell you why here when we watch it in a little bit. But first, go ahead and play.
You
play
should the rest be able to tell you how to buy it. If he's to throw down straight urea and save myself money.
Is there a better or best 4400 without a nitric inhibitor? I would say this: if you're going to go with straight urea, like whoever is telling you to do that should be able to supply you with, you know, an option that's going to be good for you. I don't have a recommendation as far as a straight urea product. So I'm sure whoever
How
is saying,
"How the fuck do you not have a recommendation for that?" The most manufactured fertilizer in the entire world, globally, millions of metric tons. Above and beyond any other thing on the face of the fucking planet that is manufactured, he has no idea, not a single fucking clue. The grass guru himself, King B, Ron motherfucking Henry, has no fucking clue where to find it. I need someone notify the fucking FDA, the FBI, the ADA, the TCA, the EPA, whoever else, fucking three-letter agency, and write them a letter and tell them that Ron is the dumbest motherfucker to have ever existed. I take it back. He did think that was Travis Shaddox because he can't process two and fucking two.
The issue here.
Dear. I mean, a little computer ahead, glitch, and we come to this turkey right here because I saw this, and you know what? For him to not know who Travis Shaddox is, that is incredible, first of all. And you know what is also shocking to me? When a supposed lawn expert does not know what urea is or how to get a hold of it. That is amazing to me, because how many times Matt, have I sent people to co-ops when all they need is urea? How many times have I done that? I tell them, you know what? You go down to the co-op and you just get it. Or even worse.
Know. I'm going to type it into fucking Google right now and just see what comes up.
No, and nowadays, you know, with shopping. The new emission control systems on diesel trucks, if somebody gets desperate, do you know what they can buy at their AutoZone or gas station? Yep, 2.5 gallons of, what is that, 11% NDEF?
15.5 00.
15.500. Is that what the actual analysis is, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And you know what that is, guys. That is extremely pure urea in distilled water. So if you get desperate, you could literally apply DEF diluted in water to your lawn, and that would be a good urea source. I'm not kidding about that.
I mean, I typed into Google here, and I can buy urea anywhere.
Anywhere.
Here's 40-pound boxes from Lowe's, from eBay, from Etsy, from Seven Springs Farm Supply, from Michaels, from Walmart, Seed World, Amazon, Home Depot, Duda Energy, Lab Alley, Alliance Chemical, more from Etsy. It's all over.
Right. Good, better, best. Without a nitrification inhibitor. I mean, you know, when somebody asks for good, better, and best for such a basic commodity, you got to cut them off right there and tell them, hey, 4600 is 4600, and there's many places and many ways you can get a hold of it from pre-made liquid all the way up to run down to the co-op and buy yourself a 50-pound bag and be done with it. And I think, you know what their issue is that he's mad because his online store doesn't have any. That's why he's mad.
I actually talked to Nor on Friday. Nor, if you're listening right now, can we just put urea in your store right now? And for God's sake, we'll just sell it just to piss off Ron Henry. Just to piss off Ron Henry. I've got a few tote bags. I can bag it. Just throw it up.
Let him finish this real quick.
You know, I'm not sure who this person is, but if whatever they are, whatever they're recommending, they should also be able to say, hey, as far as an option for doing the strategy that I am discussing, here are some good options, and here's how I would go ahead and recommend spraying it. If they can't, then you probably may look into something else.
Holy shit! We did not catch that the first time. He flat out said, if they can't tell you what to do that, you shouldn't fucking do it. If they can't tell you where to buy it, you shouldn't. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. He just told Travis Shaddox, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Amazing. Look, I've got a set of testicles on me that get me in trouble all the time. I'll probably get in trouble tomorrow for what I said tonight, and it's not even live yet. And for Christ's sake, under no circumstance do I have the testicles to go after Shaddox and tell people, yeah, if he recommended it and didn't tell you where to fucking buy it, you probably shouldn't listen to him, should you? Imagine the level of fucking pompousness that takes. I really cannot wrap my mind around it. I knew he was a scumbag. I didn't know he was that much of a piece of shit, though. I'm genuinely shocked. I said the same thing last week with just the Shaddox comment. But he took it to another fucking level.
I think what it is that Ron Henry, basically, I have to kind of like give him an out in that Ron Henry is not associated with all of the researchers and people in the field that we are.
He doesn't get a fucking out for nothing. He does not get a fucking, and nowhere does this guy get an ounce of fucking out in any time right now. I won't give him a fucking microgram.
The point being here, folks, is that you could be a university professor, extension agent. You could be one of us. I mean, how we fall into that category of we don't have an option to sell you in every single mm-hmm. case when we tell you to use something. And you know what? For somebody that cares about the result rather than the transaction, I think those are the people that you should be looking for. So take it for what it's worth. I think he might have one. I think he goes on to the next question. So let's jump to number three here. Let's watch video number three, also from Ron.
He says, "Hey Ron, is there a standard value for pounds of nutrient per thousand square feet?" Well,
go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Increase in parts per million of that nutrient. I just got my soil test back, and my nutrients are low across the board. I'll definitely let you chime in on this as well too.
Okay. So Matt, do you want to frame the question here a little bit? It sounds like what this person is trying to do is calculate, if I put a pound of pea out, what is that going to relate to in terms of PPMs, right? In my soil
Correct.
Test. So you guys
Correct.
Dive
That's
in here.
Exactly what he's asking.
I'm gonna frame this out here.
I think you just did. That's exactly what the guy's asking. Here's the thing is that as far as a standard value, it's dependent upon each individual nutrient, right? So P and K are not a one-to-one. 1 pound of P is not going to raise parts per million at exactly the same linear way that K does, right? So those will be a unique way that each of them raise a soil test value. And a lot of that has to do with the conversion of P2O5 to P and K2O to K, which is, you know, P2O5 to the P is what times 2.2, and then K2O to K is what times 1.19? I can't remember off the top of my head, but there is a conversion value. And anyway, that's why you have a non-linear. So it is specific to each individual nutrient. 1 pound per thousand square feet, which would be roughly 43 pounds per acre, is not going to raise soil parts per million at exactly the same number 1 pound of K will. So we're clear.
All right. So let's play it here.
But I'm going to say not as a general rule, Nick, because it depends, right? So if you, a perfect example, let's say you are using like an organic fertilizer, right? Like this is a good example to be able to make this work. Like the amount of pounds of that you're going to have to apply versus a synthetic, it's going to be different. As far as also, like if we take it to just the nitrogen percentage, the kind of nitrogen also matters too. You know what I mean?
What?
Like you have some nitrogen that's slow release that will tend to stick around in the soil a bit longer. If you have a product that has more of like a urea product, like our nitrogen, that's not going to be around as long. So in my mind, no, there's not like a cut and dry easy way of saying this amount of or this amount of product is going to create this much of an improvement. You know what I mean? So I don't know. What are your thoughts, Devin?
No, I wouldn't say there's like a real set amount. I think I would probably just start with a good, anywhere from like a quarter to a half pound of just a really well balanced fertilizer, and then just go with that for the season, and then test again and see where that has brought you.
Sure.
Would be my approach. But yeah, you make a really good point about the different types of nitrogen. For a month and a half, I was spraying a 10th to a 15th of a pound of nitrogen. Urea 4600 every mm-hmm. week, and then you look at my soil test and it says there's no nitrogen there. So it's really important what kind of nitrogen you're using or what you need for your application.
So it's a good point, Devin. So Nick, hopefully that helps. Just, you know, get a good balanced fertilizer. Like, you know, our 14714 is a good option. Apply that regularly and test again and see what effect it makes. That's why.
No, that didn't help anything. As a matter of fact, in fact, everything that came out of your mouth was complete and total fucking drivel. At what point do you lack so much self-awareness to just say, I don't understand the question, or I don't know, that you have to create this much fucking bullshit? The mental gymnastics on display here rivals that only of our politicians. And the crazy thing is that he did it with a fraction of the grace they do. Surely could not be a fucking politician, that's for sure.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when he's a little off kilter here. And the fact that, you know, I'm not sure the motives of why he does it. If he feels the need to answer every question, or if he feels the need to sound smart, I don't know. And again, the reason that we're calling into the mat here is not so much to insult him. He's doing a pretty good job of that on his own. But I think it's more to the point that if you're going to put out advice, and if you're going to have 63,000 subscribers, you know, again, put out real and rational content and don't just sit there and try to shill.
Wing it.
So, which brings me to my last point here. Let's go ahead and watch this next one, dear Pink.
All right, so this is one going to be for you, I think, Devin, because I don't know who these people are, and I probably should. He says, hey, guys, curious who your favorite turf grass researchers are out there. Dr. Tony Koski, out by Devin, or Dr. Travis Shaddox have some great papers, but I'm hungry for more learning. Thanks, guys.
That's actually funny. So Koski was actually one of my professors at CSU, so I had him a lot. And, yeah, he's a really good guy, does a lot of extension work. He's still up there, I believe. Probably should shoot him an email and see if he's got any students who want to intern for us this summer. I had Koski. Richard Beard out in California is really good. I'm blanking on his first name, but his last name is Nikolai. He's a turfgrass professor in Michigan. At Michigan State. He's really, really good. And those are probably my big ones. If I read any research, it's usually their stuff.
Cool. So there you go. There you go, foodies.
You know, I want to make this clear, too, because I didn't make it in the last point. This poor guy, when Ron Henry answered that question previously, he doesn't want to be the dick to come in and say, Ron, you completely whiffed on the fucking tee ball there, okay? This is what they were asking. And so he gets stuck in this situation where he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you get different analyses, you know, are going to provide, you know, different nutrient levels based on the rate you apply. Okay. He comes in, he starts asking about researchers, and then he gives answers of people that he likes, one of his professors and all that fun stuff. Great. Ron's nodding, of course. And, but in reality, DeMay, I think what you were going to go with is that Ron Henry doesn't know a single turfgrass researcher.
Go to the very beginning of that. Just refresh, hit F5 on that bad boy, and let's watch the very beginning of that clip one more time. Listen to what he says.
All right, so this is one going to be for you, I think, Devin, because I don't know who these people are, and I probably should. He says, hey, guys.
Bingo.
Wow.
Imagine.
Wow.
Imagine that you do what he does, but you don't do anything to research, put effort into, understand what's relevant, what's timely, what's changed, right? What's gotten better. You put no effort into learning your craft.
It's absurd.
Be very, very wary. It is. It is, Shaddox. It absolutely is. Shaddox.
Shaddox.
But again,
can you do the Ipsa absurd again? I just want to hear it and let it sink in.
It's absurd.
He hits different when it comes from Dr. Shaddix. I'm just going to say that.
It does.
It's absurd.
So there you have it, gentlemen.
It is.
We've got, again, just two of the 2024 superstars that are out of the gate early and just hitting bombs this year. Absolutely stroking bombs. Like,
Ron, you had a chance. After the last 2 years of debauchery, you had a chance. and you verbally out loud said today, yeah, I do not do any fucking reading of turf grass researchers at all. Sorry.
Wow. Interesting.
I guess that. He osmotically fucking absorbs everything he learns.
Just read the cut sheets, man. That's all you got to do. Just read the cut sheets.
Not even that. Not even that. I think what he learns from is whatever his masters tell him to do, okay?
100%. And easy on the masters, dude.
No, and even then, his so-called masters, they are of dubious integrity. Okay, they're very dubious integrity because they themselves do not associate with professionals in the field. Okay, they don't, because essentially, here's where old Ron is. Ron is at the point where he's with all of these marketing people at these product companies. And they are just marketing people. They are not the technical development people. Because, by the way, I have connections with, or I had connections with a lot of the product development people at places like BASF, Syngenta, and Bayer. All right? I'm familiar with those people. Ron, on the other hand, he's not. He's not. Not at all. Because I think if he was with those product development people, they would straighten him out on how he chronically misuses and misapplies so many of their products.
You know, I'm going to say this too real quick. Real quick, just to finish this up. I would hope at some point that if there are any affiliations or whatever, that we would see some of these manufacturers not turn a blind eye to this and strike back and say, hey, if you're going to sell our stuff, you at least got to know a little bit about it and make a value judgment. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but we'll see what happens. But there you go, gentlemen. A four pack. Ron Henry, Yarbrough, both touched them all. And again, just if you forgot about Jeffrey's little incident, you can go back and take a look at that. That's at www.yardbra.com.
Check out this week's burns.
Fire!
Fire!
Just give fire. Me all.
Oh, just screaming around right now. DeMay, go ahead. It's okay.
Okay.
DeMay is in our private chat right now, and he's like, I have to go pee so bad. I think J Pink was playing a game with him where he was like, how bad do you really have to go pee right now?
It's absurd. Hold on, can you hold
it's absurd.
It?
<Just kidding. laughs> J Pink, can you hit that sounder one more time?
It's absurd.
God, it hits different coming from Shaddox. Okay, pesticide liability exemption bill passes the House, is on the moon. David said, hold it until it burns. I know that feeling. passes the House, is on the move in the Senate. A proposal to exempt pesticide distributors, dealers, and applicators from product liability claims is moving in the Senate. A proposal to exempt pesticide distributors, dealers, and applicators from product liability claims is moving in the Senate. The Senate Rules Committee voted 12-7 on Monday to approve. Matt, yes?
I have that as a return.
Oh, I skipped the burns. All right, let me start this over. Okay, we're gonna do the first one. J-Ping, I was so rattled. You don't have to do the music again. I was just so rattled after the four-peat of Joe Knows Turf. I don't even know where I am anymore. Who am I? What is my name? Is this thing on?
It's absurd.
It's thank you, Dr. Shaddox. That was a full what is the name of the movie? Greyhound, Groundhog Day moment. Record levels of forever chemicals in Northeast Tennessee sewage sludge used as crop fertilizer. That's exciting. Bristol, Tennessee. Oof. I was going to mention a company that's up there, but I'm not right now. I'm going to ask some questions to people first, though. The treated wastewater discharge in local waterways poses risk not only to drinking water, but to farmlands across Sullivan County, the resulting harvest that wind up on family dinner tables in Tennessee and beyond. That's because the local farmers rely on Bristol wastewater treatment plants, treated sewer sludge for fertilizer, spreading it on open lands throughout largely rural county, where a $68 million agricultural industry fuels the local economy. Environmentalists say the long-term impact of PFAS on farms and fields in lakes and streams and creeks is still an unknown. We continue to add PFAS to the environment. We don't know what their impact will be. But if we wait before we start looking at them, it's going to be too late. In some instances, high levels of the chemicals and fertilizers have led to farm closures in other parts of the country. Whoa. That will happen in Tennessee if we're not very careful. PFAS or per or polyfluoroalkyl substances, also known as forever chemicals, include thousands of man-made chemicals that do not break down in the environment. Any level of exposure to a toxic chemical is considered unsafe, according to the EPA. PFAS has been linked to disease, infertility, and death. A report circulated last month by the Sierra Club found the chemicals have been detected in 60% of rivers and lakes tested in Northeast Tennessee, findings that raise questions about the long-term safety of drinking water supplies in the region. As of right now, the concentration of PFAS in the Bristol sewage sludge are exponentially higher, 83,000 times more than found in already alarming quantities detected in local waterways and highways in Sierra Club's earlier report. There are currently no federal or state requirements that wastewater treatment plants monitor PFAS. Okay. All right. So I want to make this clear without sending everybody into a complete and total tizzy, right? Is that as of right now, we do know that PFAS at concentrations are, for sure, without a doubt, harmful to the human body. However, what we're seeing as a result of what makes its way into the sewage sludge and then farm applied and then makes its way into the plant and then into the human, we're not exactly sure of what that result is, right? We know it's not good, but is it, how bad is it? Is it just a little bit bad? Is it 10 years down the road of continually doing it high levels bad? Is it, or are we all going to die next year kind of thing, right? No one knows. Chances are, people aren't dropping dead that quickly. So it's likely not on that part. It doesn't mean that it should not be taken serious, right? 100%. This should be addressed right now. Get out in front of it and figuring out what the fuck is going on. I want to make this point too, is that someone said, if knowing that we have this issue with PFAS, and then why is there a defense of glyphosate? Well, a couple of things is in terms of glyphosate, again, the most researched herbicide in the world, there have been no conclusive links to cancer-causing issues. However, the surfactants in it, now where the surfactants end up posing issues is that surfactants have like functional groups on the end of it, right? And some of those could be alkyl substances. And again, a polyfluorinated alkyl substance is what we're trying to avoid. So if you have alkyl functional groups at the end of a surfactant, that could quickly result in a plastic-like substance, a PFAS, right? So that is one of those situations that could arise from it, from the surfactant piece of it, but not all surfactants are that way. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be there, but it's why we should look at the types of surfactants we're looking and limit their use, limit it to surface applications and not soil applications. And if you are going to do a soil application one, then look at something that is not going to have an alkylated functional group on the end of it and then lead to things like this happening. And I will say that the research there, and as far as what you're finding as soil surfactants, are typically not alkylated surfactants. So not a huge risk there. But the other piece of it too is that glyphosate is regularly excreted from the body easily. Very, very easily it's excreted from the body. It's not like it's building in your brain and accumulating over long periods of time. I saw this just the other day as well, too, in analyzing plaque buildup in arteries. They're also finding microplastics or various perfluoroalkyl substances in buildup in plaque in the heart, right? That kind of accumulation is what we're talking about. That is bioaccumulation, right? Glyphosate does not bioaccumulate. this material does. Okay. And that's where we're running into these situations where we don't know exactly how fucked are we, or is, you know, is it a short term or long term situation? Okay. And I want to bring this all kind of full circle and at least shine some light on the end of the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel, is that I am very familiar with these several companies that are working their ass off on solving the PFAS issue in various ways. And one is, we discussed a patent that was out earlier, or at least a research paper, where they were using calcium EDTA as part of a sequestering agent, and then they were pyrolyzing it at a certain temperature in order for that to happen. I also know of a gasification system that is reaching hot enough temperatures in order to create this into a volatile compound that is then flared off. I also know another company that is sequestering it in situ. So especially for like aquifers or wastewater treatment facilities, they can pump in a sequestering agent and hold it in place, right? And therefore keep it from making its way back out into the waterways and providing some sort of solution to it that currently just doesn't exist. So there is a shit ton of, again, God bless capitalism, right? Because there's a shit ton of money and effort and technology that is being poured into this right now. And I will say, for whatever reason, it is flying really under the radar. And I think it's because of the fear factor that comes along with it, that not a lot of people want to be that balls deep into the here and know of it, unless you work in that kind of remediation space. If you work in remediation, you surely know these companies, like Regenesis Remediation Company, probably the most above and beyond company that is developing solutions for PFAS right now. And I can say that with a high degree of confidence. There's no one even in the remote fucking sphere for the work that they're doing right now in terms of creating a solution for PFAS that's scalable, right? That's the other thing too, is that all these have to be scalable. When we're talking about a wastewater treatment facility, how many fucking thousands of gallons are we talking about? Millions, right? So then it's a whole nother scale than just doing it in a 100-milliliter beaker, okay? Anyway, my point being is that, yes, it is not good. Yes, there are solutions that are on board or onboarding. And three is that these need to be adopted sooner than later, because I have a feeling as more and more of the health research starts catching up, because, again, a lot of these studies that have to be done in health are multi-year big ass pooled studies with that are going to be repeated across many different areas. And there's going to be a meta-analysis at the end of it that's going to give us even more insight as to what actually is going on. In an overabundance of caution, preparing for that, having solutions for it in place, or already having action taken on it, is going to be way better than getting some really, really bad fucking news on the back end and then being like, well, shit, I don't know what to do. So, and just, if we're going to sound the alarm, I at least want to make it clear. I'm fortunate enough to play enough in that space that I get to see some of these technologies come to light. And so that's the only reason I know about it. And I will say that is the only reason right now where I'm not such up in arms over it that I'm like, oh my God, we're all going to fucking die. Cause that's typically my response to things. I'm a worrywart.
We're all going to die. Matt, that's my line.
That actually is your line. That is your line. You take it at my level times 10. So just everyone listening at home, if I'm worried about dying, Ray is times 10 on everything, as a matter of fact. Maybe 100 on some things.
On some things, yeah. And my fears are not, you know, poorly founded, because, in fact, you know, when I got told that statement, worry about glyphosate, but PFAS are all right, I said, wait, stop, because the evidence is there that PFAS are accumulating in internal organs. And Matt, Ryan, the last substances that I know of that accumulated in internal organs were none other than PCBs, dioxins, chlorinated hydrocarbons.
No good. Yep.
Yeah. And chlorinated hydrocarbons. Like, and the reason why I'm thinking like that is, okay, PFAS shares, you know, characteristics with chlorinated hydrocarbons, because PFAS replaces the chlorine in those chemicals with fluorine. That's the difference. And so the behavior is very similar in terms of, you know, being accumulated in tissues and being very environmentally stable. So it's a matter of, and you know what my next question becomes is, okay, if this PFAS is in the soil in these agricultural areas, how much of that PFAS is translocating back up into the crops? Because, by the way, that was the thing that essentially stopped usage of chlorinated hydrocarbon insecticides on crops in the United States. Because you apply chlorodyne, for example, for soil insects in a cornfield, the chlorodyne ends up translocating up into the corn. And then, of course, it all goes bad from there, doesn't it? So that's why I now have a question. If that PFAS is present in the soil, where is it going and how much of it is going there?
Yeah, developing a soil solution for this, again, you know, it's you're not going to be able to extract it, right? That's impossible. Oh. So some sort of in-situ sequestering makes sense for a scalable project. And and it's going to be, how quick is that implemented and adopted? And in my opinion, as of right now, it needs to be at the front and forefront as a matter of precaution of the data that's going to start showing up on the health effects of it. But, you know, again, that's going to be for forward thinking people. And I think those do exist right now, and they're actively capitalizing on that. And, you know, shout out to the people that are doing that research. We've got two winners here out of Topeka. I'm not going to lie. I did not know that people looked like this in Topeka. I thought this was an Arkansas thing, but nope. They reached Kansas too. Two Topeka residents were arrested following an investigation into stolen lawnmowers. The ECC was notified of a recent theft of two lawnmowers around 4 p.m. Tuesday, February 27th, in the block of Southeast Baldwin Road. Based on information provided by the caller, deputy with Shawnee County Sheriff's Office was able to locate the suspect vehicle. How fitting is this? An 04 Kia Sorento with taped up windows.
Oh, Lord.
I included the part about taped up windows just because I'm sure we can all visualize it. And hubcaps were missing in the 400 block of Southeast Rice Road. During the investigation, they discovered two stolen lawnmowers and, shockingly, illegal narcotics. What narcotics did they have? Methamphetamine. Oh, my God. I am just stunned. There's
surprise,
two things that go together indiscriminately, and that is methamphetamine and theft. I mean, you can't have one without the other.
In judgment too, because, like, let's listen here. You got to be really fucked up to look around, survey your environment from the windshield of your 04 Kia Sorento and say, those two lawnmowers right there, that's it. That's the score that we need, boys and girls. That's going to get it.
You know, it's like a Murray, you know, off-brand,
right?
Whatever. Walmart. Self-prepared, pushed, yeah.
It doesn't
hardly
matter.
Runs. It probably doesn't even have a spark plug in it.
It was about to go out to the curb with a free sign on it.
Yeah. It wasn't even that, because, you know, with these methods, their problem is that they are so desperate. And they're so out of their mind that they're literally looking around. Whatever is not nailed down, irregardless of its value, if they think they can pawn it or sell it for another fix, they'll do it. They will absolutely do it. And you know what, guys? I see that life because, you know, pictures like those two fine people. Matt, who do you think Dog the Bounty Hunter was looking for here in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did watch episodes of that, yeah.
Okay, and what...
They did look like that.
And what was the most common underlying issue that would cause them to be on the list of Dwayne Chapman's client list? What was the underlying issue, Matt?
I think underlying...
It was not marijuana.
It was not marijuana, exactly. It was the other M word, the other bad M word.
Well, listen, I think the problem here is that poor Dwayne and his accomplice, you know, they were told to use meth, but the person just didn't give them a suggestion on where to buy it. So they were just trying to do themselves a solid, get out there on the street and comb Topeka. I mean, if you're not going to be told where to buy this stuff, how could you be suggested to... You know, how could you be convicted of a crime? I think I should go there and be their defense counsel. Jesse, will you go with me?
I was told to buy heroin, but they didn't give me a dealer, so I had to use meth, who provided me a dealer. It's just, it's simple. Quantum mechanics.
I tried to go with some. Is methamphetamine the urea of narcotics?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Yes. Yes.
I shouldn't be ever taking my fentanyl, though, which might be more heroin's a little anhydrous ammonia or something. Yeah. let's check out this week's returns. I've already started it. Anyway. J-Pink, if you caught it the first time I started reading this, I read that first line twice because I was trying to figure out why it was a burn. And I was like, maybe there's another way to do this. And I was like, but let me first make sure I read it twice. A proposal to exempt pesticide distributors, dealers, and applicators from product liability claims is moving in the Senate. They voted 12-7 on Monday to approve HB 347 by Rep. Keith Trunow of Tavares. It is cleared in the House 81-33 on Thursday over strong Democratic opposition. Senate sponsor Jay Collins, a Tampa Republican, told the Rules Committee the measures needed to stabilize the market. The purpose of this bill is to provide protections from excessive lawsuits. Multiple jury awards out there for very large sums of money were punitive in nature. The bill would exempt pesticide distributors, dealers, and applicators from product liability claims, including a failure to warn. However, the bill's protections would not apply to distributors, dealers, and applicators who alter and misuse the product and who exercise substantial control over its design, testing, and manufacture. I mean, could you imagine applying glyphosate as you work for fucking Brightview, and your job is to go spray glyphosate on the beds, and Miss Jones gets into a lawsuit and sues Bayer, sues Brightview, sues SiteOne, and sues you, the guy who's out there and doing it, and you are part of a $34 billion judgment against you? And I'm like, I was just showing up to do my job, guy. How can anyone think that is a smart fucking thing to do? We have cops that will arrest people for the stupidest fucking reasons and say they're just doing their job and they get a fucking away with it. But you want to hammer down as part of a fucking class action lawsuit on a fucking applicator? Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Thank God.
Unfortunately, Matt, as was evidenced by the success of the glyphosate lawsuit, it's unfortunate when a legislature has to take a look at this and see the long view of this because, Matt, can you imagine what would happen when manufacturers, distributors, and even applicators decide to say, nope, not worth the liability. Everybody get fucked. Okay, everybody get fucked. And when I say get fucked, I'm talking about people suing. That is an example of a de facto or backdoor ban. And
exactly.
From what I've seen, okay, the position of the courts has been, we'll just allow this, not looking at the actual ramifications of this, because Do you know what my issue is with the courts nowadays? Do you know what my issue is, Matt?
What's that?
My issue is that 99.9% of most cases and lawsuits should not even get past the doorstep of the courts. The judge should just bring his gavel down, say, frivolous, case dismissed, get the hell out of here. Don't even bring that shit to court. Do not.
Yeah. It's, again, you know, if you are violating the label, 100%, that is on you, the applicator. Always has been that way, should be that way. That makes perfect fucking sense to me. And again, as reinforced in the bill, they still want to maintain that. But again, if someone has a hard-on for Bayer and wants to come after you, the applicator, get on my nuts. My duts. The next one here is, when it comes to long grass, be careful what you buy. This is out of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram here. Lord have mercy. Why do they do this every damn time? Right, let me pull it up. Then. Are you kidding me? Why? It's not going to let me read it?
It's absurd.
It is absurd. Oh, hang on. Let me do it incognito.
Let me see if I can do it here. Got it?
Oh, nope.
Hang on. I had it pulled up earlier. Hang on. Let's see if I can read it here. Four. All right. There it is.
You've been selected. Okay. I don't want to be selected.
I'd say that. All right. So when it comes to lawn grass, be careful what you buy and be suspicious of extravagant claims. This is a special to the Star Telegram by a gentleman named Neil Sperry. So, Matt, if you can do your doxing.
Yep.
All right, let's see. I can tell you what I was doing 68 years ago this week, watching my front porch in College Station every day for a delivery of what I thought was going to change the way that I lived. I've been an avid gardener all my life. I took pride in the way our lawn looked. I gardened with my dad, and he got busy with his Aggie herbicide research in the spring. So we turned the yard work over to me, and trees began to leaf out. Fine with me, because that was where I wanted to be in the first place. Yada, 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 yada. It wasn't until my turf management courses at Ohio State a few years ago. Can I write
the
buddy?
Ohio State?
I didn't say that. He didn't even put the in there. Put the article in, bro. You fucking paid for
I
that.
I saw it on the school bus that was in Knoxville this weekend. I'm not sure what sport it was for, but it said the Ohio State University down the side. Of course, I had to read it out loud.
There you go. I learned that real mowers go across golf course too. He basically talks a lot about this. He talks about Zorja, but here at the end, he says this, and this should be, you know, put everywhere. And if this is a 68-year-old man who's been around, you know, the world a little bit and seen things saying this, then you ought to know better. Be careful what you buy. Be suspicious of extravagant claims. Grass seed that's promised to patch bare spots usually won't. And that's probably a blend of northern cool season rye and some fescues that'll die in the blazing hot heat of Texas in late May, early June, to say nothing of July and August. Additionally, soil additives that claim they have activated enzymes and stimulated microbes, watch out for those buzzwords. They're short passed into dark forests where you'll likely be fleeced from your wallet. So, listen, what a way to end this show.
I like this guy.
On that note,
I love that
we
guy.
Do have,
yep.
We have a mailbag.
Mailbag.
Nice.
You've got mail.
Hey.
All right. I will go ahead and read this here real quick. So this comes to us from one of our longtime patrons, Brady. Brady is up in Northwest Ohio, and he's getting ready to kick off his season here. And he wants to know, he says, hey, man, was wondering your thoughts on the first round app going out, looking to run some more of a post-herbicide app so I can do some more spot spray in May. Looking to hit any dandelions before they flower. He's got a few things in here for some tank adjuvants. Still also has his liquid fertilizer and pre in the tank as well. His N will be around a tenth to 1,500th of a pound of nitrogen. So in the tank, I don't want to post his whole tank mix up here if we don't have to, but he's going to have
a spray adjuvant and a defoamer.
Yeah. So he's got UAN in there at about, you know, call it an eighth of a pound of N. He's got his prodiamine in there. He's also got triclopyr that he's running at 24 ounces to the acre. And then 2,4-D as well. So 2,4-D, I'm assuming that's going to be ester, I hope, at this time of year.
Better be.
And better he's be running that at 26 ounces the acre. So, guys, if we're trying to clean up, you know, I think what he's trying to say is, I'm going to be spraying wall-to-wall anyway. It'd be nice to clean up pretty much everything and just have to go back in and spot in round two, you know, come May. Is there anything that you guys would add to this to kind of kick it up a notch? Particularly on Dan, he's going to have a lot of dandelions. Some of his lawns will have buckthorn, so, you know, some not super difficult to control, but at this time of the year. So what do you got? Anything else he can spike with? Do we throw some carventrazone in here, something like a PPOI?
I do worse.
Oh, boy. What are you doing?
What I do is right now, while it's still cool, four ounces per acre sulfentrazone.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yep.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
No, and I'll tell you why I prefer sulfentrazone rather than carfentrazone. It's because with sulfentrazone, when you apply that blanket, you have a certain amount of pre-emergent effect against various broadleaf and grassy weeds. So you're getting a lot of, you know, additional activity out of that one app. Whereas carfentrazone, I actually save that for any time I have to do broadleaf or sedge control and it starts getting warmer. So in warmer weather, if I need to spray broadleaf weeds or sedges and it's already warm, I take sulfentrazone out of the rotation because I don't need to fry the turf. And I put in carfentrazone because carfentrazone is a lot more gentle to the turf grass. It's not as aggressive on the turf grass, but it still does a great job on the weeds themselves, because what you'll get out of even the sulfentrazone is your clients are going to watch the weeds in their lawn literally have holes burnt into the leaves and then turn brown probably within a day or two of you applying it. And people like to see that, by the way. They enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add in terms of like duration. You know, I think if you went with Defender, you would have to go out with it earlier. I don't have experience using it, so I can't say one way or the other. The other one would be like Gallery, and is the cost going to be? Is there going to be enough ROI on that cost to do that? I mean, with the types of weeds he has, they're really easy to kill post-emergently.
Gallery,
so, I don't think so. I think sulfentrazone combined with prodiamine, and you know, there was a product on the market that was called Echelon, that is a combination of prodiamine and sulfentrazone, and the idea there is that you get a broader spectrum of pre-control, some slight post-control, and they are going to be synergistic with your 2,4-D and triclopyr that you already have in there. So yeah, I think if you want to add something, you know, add 4 ounces per acre to that, and that will give you a bit more duration and spectrum of control. And other than that, I think you're pretty much dead nuts fucking on there.
You're
looks good
to
me.
You're good, Brady. Yeah, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to clean up in round two.
Hell no. Not a lot.
No. I think that's what you're looking for. So, all right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. It was a four bagger for Joe Knows Turf. So slide back and take a look at that if you're joining us late. And Wet and Wild Wednesdays. That's right, folks. We do not meet on Thursdays anymore because Matt is a man of action. Ray is trying to turn a 4-day weekend into Sheila. I think it's actually 2 days of pure unadulterated sex and then 2 days of recovery because, listen. There's two words that don't exist in the English language when you live with Sheila, and those are refractory period. Bye.
If you know, you know. Gaper goalie.
Put the numbing cream on again. Let's go.